And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues, and more. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Mark Morrison.
How are you going?
Well, thanks, Mark. Mark was featured last year in an episode of the TV show Australian Story. He comes from a background as a physics teacher at a Catholic high school and a rugby league recruitment officer at the Parramatta Eels. For 9 years, Mark has been the principal at McClave Vocational College, or MVC, a school, may I say, a school gets its culture from its head. And Mark was the 2016 Citizen of the Year in Kempsey on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. Mark, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Thank you very much, Bill. Thank you. I'll just do a little touch. I wasn't in charge of recruitment. I did some. I do some recruitment for Parramatta, but I did a lot of coaching and privileged to coach a number of levels at Parramatta over the years and a lot of schoolboy footy. So
yeah, long association with rugby league, by the sound of it.
Yeah, just like teaching, coaching. Sharing skills and trying to get people to identify their strengths and not worry too much about what their weaknesses are.
Well, I was wondering what the links were.
I've been very privileged, very fortunate in my time.
So, Mark, look, some people still think of school education as reading, writing, numeracy, but your approach is much broader than that. What do you see as some of the unusual things about MVC?
If you come to the heart of what it's about, Bill, all education, whether it's at VC or, you know, whether it's in any other school that I've been in, is all about building relationships. At VC, we take the time to, you know, build relationships, as do other schools, with students, and then identify, as I just mentioned, you know, what some of their strengths are. Now, a lot of kids who come to school, in particular here, they don't actually know what they're strong at. They can't identify it, and they definitely can't communicate what they believe are their strengths. So, you know, that's one of the first things, is to build that pride and to build that confidence so that people can share where they believe they are strong, and then, you know, they gain some sense of belonging, because if they are strong in that area, as you and I, we're strong in different areas, we spent longer with each other, then we would then use our strengths together to build a better community. So that's really the basis of where that comes from.
Your school caters for students in years 9 to 12. I'm just wondering why you picked that particular range for the school.
Young people can benefit greatly by all of the other options and the other activities and everything else that is in the larger schools. You know, in a smaller school, then for us to offer those benefits to the students, I can't possibly offer an array of subjects to them. I can't possibly offer, you know, a different type of sport, a different type of cultural event, you know, different musical events. So I offer the minimum in those, but our focus is on strengths in students or strengths in the young people, and then helping them to gain some confidence back in education. If we were to do that at a time before they can start making their own decision about, yes, I want to do this course, or yes, I would like to be good at this, that doesn't lead into, you know, what the philosophy of college is. So we could probably apply for a registration for Year 7 and 8, but I believe that all young people moving from primary school at Year 6 level into 7 in mainstream schools, they get that opportunity to share the wealth of knowledge and the great opportunities that are there. And after that, if they need to come to VC for extra support, or they need something that's different, they can put their hand up and identify that. That's why we haven't applied. We could apply for Year 7 and 8, but we're not, for that reason.
It seems to me teaching high school is hard enough for most teachers. You enroll young people that have been expelled from mainstream education, or they can't make their mark in mainstream education. What would happen to these kids otherwise if you didn't take them in?
I know people like to paint us as the school where all the bad kids go, but it's not exactly that way. Look, all young people have some wonderful stories to share. And yes, a number that are here, you know, have had interactions with other schools where they have been asked to leave. And some of those requests are justified requests. So if they weren't here, which is, you know, probably where Kempsey was 20 years ago, then they're not going to school. And I'm, there's no question on your age here, but with my age, education is essential. It always has been. But as we go further and further, you know, in the future, education is the only thing that is going to give these young people the confidence to be able to make their own decision. You can't do that if you can't read. You can't do that if you can't tell your own story. You can't do that if you don't have confidence to shake someone's hand and look them in the eye and tell them this is what you want to do. Those things might not necessarily seem academic education, but they're all part of education. And if you're not part of a school or a place that gives you some of those skills, and some of them are social skills, but I believe they're all forms of education because they're just young people being around positive influences who want the best for them. So where would they be? They would be where their families were years ago. So none of them having a HSC, not many of them working, hardly any going on to any future study, you know, which is where a lot of people were prior to that. Last year's 20 students that completed their HSC, 16 were first in family. The other four were following in footsteps, you know, of siblings who'd done it, but none of them had family who'd gone on to complete things or family who'd gone on to see school as a pathway to their future. Some of them had, you know, had to go and join other forms of work-based programs to get themselves to a place where, you know, they had employment and opportunity.
Well, clearly you're doing something right because I think when the community of Kempsey saw the need back in about 2001, you started with about 9 students and now, what, you're up over 120, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, we're not quite at 120 for this year because losing 20 students from year 12 last year and then a couple of students have gone back to mainstream, which is excellent for them. It's a great pathway. You know, it's not just about them completing schooling here, but it's about them regaining the opportunity to make their own decision to go back to mainstream high schools. And, you know, we need to thank them because those schools in town are happy once these young people have proved their worth and regain control of some of their decisions, they're happy to allow them to come back. That's a reflection on the town as well, not just a reflection on the young person. And I do talk a lot, and that's what teachers do, but I would love to just commend that we can offer as many opportunities as we like for the young people who come here, you know, for the students. But if they're not courageous enough to take those risks, they're not the ones who can turn around and identify that this is somewhere they want to go, then as with all places, the success doesn't happen. People congratulating me and my staff all over the place for our successes that we're having, well, we're offering the opportunity. You know, the congratulations still needs to go to the young people who are the ones who are taking a risk, being courageous about what they're doing, coping with the different situations that they're placed in, identifying that they've either got personal or domestic challenges that they need support with, and, you know, putting their hand up rather than putting their hand out.
So what are some of the problems that your students face that leads them to dropping out of mainstream education?
Some are anxiety issues, some are depression that comes with that, some are identifiable issues that come from domestic situations that are challenging, that are inconsistent, that are unstable. Some come from no relational networks for them, and some come from the fact that no one in those family situations have wanted to finish school. They've had a negative exposure to school. You know, the mainstream schools were losing in the first stop because no one had a positive feeling of school when they went. That's what these young people are exposed to. We need to deal with those things in a number of ways. We fortunately have some elders who come into college, and some of those elders have decided to finish some courses and therefore gaining a certificate. And those certificates go on the wall, and therefore now there is education as a front, you know, as a grandma. Education has a purpose because they put a certificate on the wall. So instead of something that they didn't have, any certificates, any recognition, they never finished a HSC, they didn't get through the school certificate in those days, well, now they've got a Cert 2 in something, or they've got a Cert 3. It is giving people all around in community those opportunities to share or to, I guess, celebrate the benefits that education will bring to their life.
Now, you just mentioned the Indigenous influence. Your school does have a high proportion of Indigenous students and also Indigenous staff, doesn't it?
We do. We Indigenous staff, I probably run at around 31 to 32% of my staff would be a mixture of local Dungari, Gumbangya, Bunjalung, Biripi Nation people. My students are mainly, I'm going to say mainly Dungari, but that doesn't actually mix that way because a lot of young Aboriginal people have sharing of community, so they'll move around within their extended family, and therefore some students I have come from, you know, 100 kilometres away either side of here, whether they're coming down from Armidale or whether they're coming down from, you know, Bowerville, Nambucca, you know, coming up from Taree or Wauchope. So there is a mixture, but we run probably somewhere between 84 and maybe 83 through to 87%.
Well, these days you can promote a number of Indigenous role models, which is great. Do you perhaps use those people to inspire your students?
Use those people for some inspiration, but I think inspiration has to come from within. So yes, we do have people who come in and share some time and share some of their stories, but a lot of the people that we have come in that would share their time and share their stories are probably not what other people from the outside would consider a role model. So these are people who've come through some of the situations that, you know, that my students are in and then been able to make their way. And that doesn't need to be a hero who's, you know, won an Olympic medal or anything like that. It's someone who's come through what they've come through and now they've got a job and they're looking after their family or, you know, is in my young mum's, you know, a champion young mum who has gone through college, taken 3 or 4 years to gain her HSC, you know, has her children who are now in primary school who are not missing any days and they're learning and they're feeling like they're valued within the primary school they're in. They're not having any time off. So they're the sort of heroes, if you want to call them heroes, they're the people that we get in to talk to them because they're real to them. They exist from the same situation. We have linkages with other schools that are away from the valley, with Newington and Queenwood, as we used to, Brindabella and Canberra, and those times where we will travel to those places or those students come to college to share time with us, that the other opportunities in life our students get exposed to. And that's good too. It's a wonderful thing. You know, one young student years ago, she didn't want to go to Sydney on this trip, and I didn't force her to go, but I said at the end of it, you can have a choice of, you know, what you would like to take home if you come to Sydney and you be part of where we are in the girls' school, and you just sit and experience someone else's different life. So she'd never gone really far out of here. Obviously, transport, travel, all of those things are an issue, so if we don't take the students, they don't get there. So took her down, and we're on our way back, and she said to me she'd just like to have a photo with Santa Claus. Now we're talking a 16, 17-year-old, very, you know, stunning young girl. And I said to her, seriously? You can imagine, you're my old man. Seriously? You can have lots. You want a photo with Santa Claus? And it was just one of those things that she had missed out on her whole life. She'd seen plenty of other people have photos with Christmas, with Santa Claus, you know, gain presents, do all of that, and that was what she wanted. And the surprising bit for me is that blew me away, but out of the other 8 girls that I took down, 5 others joined her, because that was the first time they'd had a photo with Santa Claus either. So there are lots of things that I still learn that we take for granted, because I would have thought in this day and age there were plenty of opportunities for that, but I guess only an opportunity if you can be taken to the place where Santa is, or you can be driven to that place, or someone there has got a camera, and if you can't afford it and you have to pay for it, then who pays for it? So, yeah, I get little reminders or awakenings or lessons in life each week there.
Your students have their eyes open, but I guarantee the students from Newington and Queenswood, I think where you've got those links, they must wonder at some of the things that they encounter when they meet with your kids.
Yeah, look, they are a wonderful relationship. It truly is. When I first thought of, you know, what would happen, you would think that we would be the ones gaining lots, but I do know that, you know, the communities of Newington and Queenwood both celebrate and share what we all learn together. And I think that understanding of, you know, my community, where their schools are and what opportunities they have, and their school and their students understanding what opportunities we have, and then working in that wonderful, I guess, growing together or building together or sharing together, you know, it's something that is building for everyone. So I can see how they are gaining from it, and I can honestly see how the country will benefit from it in the future. And I know it's a big statement, but I do. I see and talk to some of the girls and the boys that have been up here, and I hear what their experiences are, and I know where their lives are heading with influences from both of those schools, and think, well, you know, the country's going to be in a better place because of this relationship.
We're speaking today with Mark Morrison, who is the principal of Macleay Vocational College. We're going to take a short break now, and we're going to listen to a Fleetwood Mac song called Don't Stop. That was Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac, perhaps appropriate for the work that our guest today, Mark Morrison, is doing up in Kempsey. And yes, we sincerely hope that that you don't stop, Mark. You're doing a fantastic job with these students, someone that understands them and can guide them on the right path, and it's great to be able to speak with you.
Thank you, Bill, very much. Every young person is looking for a place to be, a place to feel valued, a place to belong, and then they want to be one of those people who are useful in community. You know, whether that's my students or students from any other school, they all want to do that. I think young people are misunderstood by a lot of adults because, you know, our worlds are different to theirs. But, you know, young people honestly want probably more than you and I did when we grew up, to give back to community. They have a real empathy and a real desire to not just make a difference in the world, but to be there for other people who need their support.
But you have to break through sometimes that, you know, they put up some sort of barrier outside them, I'm sure, and you have to take special precautions. I know your car's been damaged on a number of occasions, and I imagine some of the students, some of the teachers, maybe even yourself, have possibly been threatened by, you know, students who feel threatened. Are you aware of that constant sort of an undercurrent of danger even?
I suppose some people are going to call me a bit naive, but I think I've walked the walk to be able to make my own decisions. As we get older in life, all of us become more aware of everything that's going on around us. You know, I think when we're younger, we're very focused on narrowing stuff down. This is the pinpoint. This is what we've got to do. And as we become older, we pay attention to whole situations before we get there. We pay attention to everything that's going on. So meeting the students as they come in the gate every day, and then taking food to them and sharing food with them in class during period one or during period two, having those constant little gaps of building relationships, that de-stresses the situation a lot. It doesn't take the possibility of threats away, but it does allow me and some of my staff to be able to make a plan if something is going on. So a lot of the time, I won't say that we're able to stop it. You know, I don't think any school can stop stuff like that happens. But the end up volatility of what's going on ends up being maybe on my car, or, you know, maybe on a window, but that's not on a person. And I think we need to value that. When some people in community have been acting out on people for a long time, and that's all they've witnessed, and that aggression turns from being a decision of, you know, having a shot at me right now, or let's take it outside so it's not in front of other people now, it's not a show-off situation, it's a real anger thing, then that's okay. You know, I don't like my car being damaged, contrary to popular belief. But is that a better decision than erupting in a class and exposing everyone in the class to a whole heap of anger that they don't need? Yeah, it is. Is it the best way to do it? Well, I can't tell you that it's the best way to do it, but I can, you know, after doing many evidence-based courses on trauma-informed care for people and spending countless hours, you know, with thousands of young people over the years, I do understand that eventually the support for positive action and the recognition that they haven't erupted where they are, they have controlled it, they have stepped out of the class, they have taken it to another place, somewhere has to bear the brunt. And often in our own families, people who bear the brunt are the parents, sometimes the kids, sometimes the grandparents. Well, I'm not a parent here, and I never want to be seen as a parent here, but if I'm the one who's built the key relationship with the young person when they start, then there's got to be some give on me, and so that's it. And yeah, I don't invite them to smash my car at all, but sometimes that happens, and then you need to look at what were the choices that that young person made to not do other damage to other people and to not do other damage elsewhere. And is that a positive step for them, even though it's a negative result for me? Yeah, I guess I'm the adult, and you'll hear me often say we're the adults in the room. Well, I'm getting older, and as I get older, some people tell me I'm going to become more impatient, but I think I'm actually very, very aware of things that are happening and able to prioritise small steps that people make into positive gains for them.
I think you show an amazing amount of flexibility and looking at things from a different angle, which is definitely needed, I think. But one of the different things you do, I mean, there are a few different things at your school, but I like the idea of the walk-around teacher between periods one and four, who, you know, if somebody's stepped out of the class, either voluntary or forced out, there's a teacher there who can interact and sort of intervene, find out what's going on and maybe sort it out.
Yeah. Look, I come back to that, you know, vision philosophy. It's all about choice. If we, you know, 30 years ago, there was nothing about choice. It was, you will do this. This is where you will go. Well, a lot of young people today don't fit into that, and a lot of people who did fit into that when they got their freedom made really poor choices. So ours is based around them making a choice. So hopefully a student never gets asked to leave the classroom. Hopefully they self-regulate by going, okay, well, I'm in the wrong place at the moment, so I need to move out of here. And then there's a lot of cameras around college, and there are a lot of tables around college as well, which give the students an opportunity to go and reflect on how they feel. They've made a positive decision because they've left class before they've done anything wrong. They haven't disrupted anyone else because they've just walked in or walked out. They've chosen a positive place to be because they know there's a camera there. And then the walk around teacher will come up to them and just have a conversation. And sometimes it's an abrupt conversation. Sometimes you get told to go away, you know, very quickly. In two short words. And other times, you know, the students breaking down because, you know, they don't have a place to go to sleep that night, or it's approaching something significant, you know, in someone within their family that they've lost, or someone might be returning to the community or leaving the community that they're unsure of. So better that we have those conversations immediately than allow that to brew. And I guess it's also the next bit of that is that you've got a teacher, you've got myself walking around pretty much every lesson, and then, you know, I have my clinical psychologists and I have my alcohol and drug counsellors and I have some of my aides who are also free. So if I can't deal with the situation because I don't know what's really the right way to handle it, I can go and take the other person's class. You know, that's the beauty of having a teacher. We all spend time with each other. We have an open door policy, so anyone can walk into any room at any time. Therefore, if I, and you don't want me teaching English, trust me, if I need to go and take the English teacher's class because a year 11 person has walked out and in their mind they have just been stressing endlessly about completing this year 11 assessment for English, well, what's better than if that's what they're doing for me to go and grab their teacher and they can sit down and they can talk through it and they can, you know, alleviate some of that stress. And then 90% of the time, that student will go on to be in class and finish the whole day. Whereas in other places, that might have been it. You know, they would have erupted in the class, walked out. No one would have understood what it was because they just couldn't go and take that time on their own to then tell someone, this is actually how I'm feeling.
We're speaking today with Mark Morrison, who is the principal of Macleay Vocational College, and I could hear these wonderful stories for a long time because I find them so inspirational, but we are very grateful to Mark. Mark, thank you so much for making time available in your busy day to talk to us at Dad's on the Air.
Outstanding opportunity to share, and hopefully other people in other communities elsewhere can realise that, you know, it's not a really hard thing to offer opportunities for, you know, students and young people everywhere so that education does become something they feel confident and successful in. But thank you for the opportunity, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely, our pleasure. And we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And if you'd like to find out some more about the work Mark Morrison is doing, I'd suggest that you go to the website of Macleay Vocational College. You'll find there a history of the school, a bit more about the work Mark's doing in the community. So just go to that Macleay Vocational College website. We'll be back next week with another show on Dad's on the Air.